Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul. Hello, everybody. It's Wednesday, February 24th, here at Grace Tabernacle. I'm Pastor Gary, and I want to share with you a little teaching tonight that I think that'll benefit you and help you in your progress with the Lord. So let's begin with prayer. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We don't see you, but we believe you are right here with us, and you're speaking through this broadcast, and you're going to help people tonight with something they need to hear from you. So thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to get you. Get your Bible out and get you a notepad, a paper, and so hurry up and get that if you can. If you don't have it nearby, because you'll need to write down a few things and take a few notes, and then go back and chew on that this week and meditate on that. I alluded to some of this on Sunday morning's message, but didn't really get to unpack it as much as I would like to. I want to talk to you about spiritual maturity. I want to talk to you about progressing in the Lord. You know, we mature through a process in the physical realm, from a child to a young adult to an adult, and we also mature spiritually in the same way, which has nothing to do, spiritual maturity has nothing to do with chronological age or how your IQ, how smart you are, or intellect, or anything like that, even experience. It has to do with spiritual faith and trust in the Lord, maturity in applying what God is showing you to do. And so I want to talk to you today about being able to receive greater things that God has for us in our spiritual walk with God, about maturing. We have to get to a place where we can receive the things that God wants us to know and wants us to experience. In fact, Jesus said one time to some disciples that he was teaching, he said, "I have many more things to tell you, but you're not able to bear them right now." How sad to think that Jesus, who was pouring out revelation, the creator of the universe, to people, and yet he looked at them and he could tell they just weren't ready to receive the other things. So he landed the plane, so to speak, in his teaching, yet he had so many more things he wanted to share with them. How sad that they weren't able or mature enough, ready to be able to receive what he had for them. I don't want you or I to be that way. I want to be able to take in whatever God wants me to know now. And so for that, we need to understand the process of maturity. I recall again something from the message Sunday. I shared with you briefly about how the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That's the first place you'll look. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He speaks to the Christians in the city of Corinth, in a church that he started. A church, by the way, that had all the spiritual gifts going on. You read Corinthians, you see that. A lot of great things happening. But he says to them in 1 Corinthians 3, 1, he says, "Brothers, I could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to babes or worldly or carnal. And I have fed you with milk and not with solid food or meat. And to this day, you're not able to endure it." So he was getting on to them that they were spiritually still immature and needed the milk of the word rather than the meat of the word or the strong meat of the word. In other words, they couldn't handle the meat that he wanted to give them, the revelation that they needed in their life. They were not spiritually mature enough to be able to comprehend it or digest it or receive it in their life. And I want you to look behind me here on this board, and you'll see the word carnal, which just, it comes from the word carne, like an animal that is carnivorous. It eats flesh. And carnal just simply means flesh, and your Bible may say carnal, or it may say worldly or fleshly. And what that's referring to is the body. You know, God has given us a human body while we're here on earth, but that's not all of who we are. That's only one third of us. And so this body has, thank God, has the capacity to be able to have five senses: sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch. And we need these five senses. Our body needs us to be able to operate in this world that we're in. So we thank God for those five senses, and we thank God for our body. The body's not evil. These five senses are not evil. But for someone who is born again of the Spirit of God, the body is only one third of them, and it's a temporary part of them. There's also a hidden part called where the soul lives inside you, but there's also the spirit, the born-again spirit with God's spirit that's merged together as one new creation in Christ. And so when you were born again of the Spirit of God, which made your human spirit born again and merged with Him, and that's where the Holy Spirit dwells. So there's three parts of you: your spirit, and your soul, and your body. And sometimes those things cross the lines, and we can get confused and say, well, I wonder if that's God talking to me, or is that just my mind, or is that just my body and the way that we feel? And we have to mature spiritually to be able to discern what is the voice of God, or what's other voices, or my own voice, or my body trying to get me to do. And so we need to be maturing in the Lord. And I don't know how long you've been a Christian or you claim to be born again, but you ought to look at that right now, because that's an important aspect. But spiritual maturity doesn't come just by chronological age, just like it does in your body. Spiritual maturity comes by practice and developing, using the disciplines that Jesus tells us we must use so we can mature spiritually. And we'll get into that in just a moment. But in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, you can look that up later, Hebrews 5, 12, the writer says, by now, he's speaking to his congregation of people, you should be teachers, but you still need to be taught the elementary things. So he was scolding them because they were not maturing to the place spiritually they should be. Ultimately, we should all get to the point spiritually where we can teach others what God has taught us. Part of our commission is to go into the world and make disciples of all nations. Disciples just simply means disciplined ones, ones that have learned the disciplines, have taken the knowledge that God has given them, and they've applied it into their hearts, and now they know these things and they mature. So here's the question: how do we overcome this flesh? Because most of our life, from physical birth onward, we are dominated by the body, by the five senses, sight, sound, touch, smell, and we're dominated by that. It's almost as if that's all we think there is. And Paul went on to say to these carnal Christians in Corinth, he said, you are not able to endure the meat of the word. And there was a lot of division and strife going on in that church. And he said it was all because they were carnal and they were not spiritual like they should have been by now. So God expects us to grow spiritually. And that's not just knowledge. It is the application of the truth that God gives us that develops the character of Christ in us. And that's the maturity. We want to grow until we come to the full measure and stature of Christ. And so the Lord wants us to learn that we still need our body and we still need the five senses, but yet we don't need to let them dominate our life, because there's more than what you can see, hear, smell, taste, or touch. And we know that because we're people of the Spirit of God. God's invisible. And he chooses to be invisible, and many things he does by the Spirit is invisible. Now, I want to show you something. So take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 8, verse 6. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, the Bible says this: to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So here's a stark contrast for us that we need to understand. Yes, we live in a body and we have these five senses, but we cannot let that be the dominating factor of our life. We can't let our body and the five senses be the dictator and the final decider in matters of our life. Otherwise, we're going to miss out on the things of the Spirit. That to be carnally minded means to be dominated by the flesh is death as far as things of the Spirit. And to be spiritually minded is the life of God flowing in you and supernatural peace that God wants us to exhibit all the time. Now, a little bit further, track with me here. Go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 13 and 14. And here, I want you to notice it says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die." That doesn't mean die and go to hell. It doesn't mean necessarily die in your physical body all of a sudden, but it means you will not be alert or sensitive to the things of the Spirit. You won't be alive to the Spirit. So it's a choice you make. If you live according to the flesh, that's the dominating factor of your life, you'll miss out on the things of the life of God. But if you, through the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, in you, you put to death with the help of the Holy Spirit, the deeds of the body, he says, now you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the mature sons of God. Romans 8, 13 and 14. So what's the goal here? The goal is for us to become less dominated by the physical body. Yes, we need to pay attention to the body, but we don't need to let that dominate us and become more and more spiritual as long as we live here on this earth. So there's a part of us that's decreasing. We listen to our bodies, we listen to the senses, and that they help us on the earth part, but we're becoming more sensitive to the things of the Spirit than we are our body. And so we're maturing. We're becoming more spiritual and less dominated by the physical. But he said in there, notice in Romans 8, 13, 14, that we're supposed to put to death the deeds of the body. That's a very important part. What do we do to put to death the deeds of the body? Well, part of it is learning to deny my flesh, learning to deny my bodily appetites, what they're always crying out for, what they want. And so our bodies have ruled over our life and dominate our life for the most part, the vast part of our lives. And so now that we are born again of the Spirit, we have to train our bodies. You're no longer in charge of me. You're no longer my final answer of matters, how I feel or what I see. I have now learning to walk by the Spirit of God. So we put to death this body by denying it what it has already had its right to rule over us. And the word disciple is a root word of discipline. So we have to train our bodies. It doesn't happen overnight. We have to learn to train our bodies. In fact, 2 Timothy chapter 2, I believe it is, Paul likened us to an athlete. He says, you know, we have to train like an athlete. We have to buffet our bodies. We have to train our bodies through discipline. Romans chapter 12, 1-2 says we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. So some of the ways we train our body so we can become more spiritual is one of the ways is through fasting. Fasting is the denying yourself of food for a particular time in order to devote more time in prayer and time alone with God. In other words, you're making your body that craves food, not giving it what it wants at that particular time in order to increase a spiritual hunger for the things of God. You're deadening or denying your flesh in order that you can promote spiritual hunger and thirst for the things of God. hopefully we're going to have a course here soon, a small group about fasting. And Pam's working on that right now, but that's going to be a very, very good study. A lot of people just don't know about fasting, never heard of it. They think it's an Old Testament discipline, but no, it's a New Testament discipline. You can look that up in Matthew chapter 6. So as part of our training, one of the things we can do is learn to fast. I urge you to have one day a week, and you may not be able to start off with one day, but I urge you to set apart one day, maybe it's just you're going to fast your noon meal or something like that. And of course, you got to check with your doctor. And if you take medications, there's proper procedures you've got to look into to see what you can and can't do physically. But most people can fast at least one day. It won't hurt you. You drink water, but you don't eat the food. You're denying yourself in the times that you'd be normally eating. You go and take a walk in prayer with God, and make sure the spiritual part is a vital part. Otherwise, you're just dieting. So you're not just dieting. This is not a diet. This is not just so you can lose weight. This is so you can lose the spiritual weight of cares and burdens and things in your life and increase spiritually. So fasting is one of those ways you can do that. Praying in tongues is another way, because your mind just does not like you praying in tongues. It says, oh, it's just a waste of time. Praying in tongues is a good way to deny your flesh and deny your body, which will try to talk you out of that, because it doesn't, your mind doesn't get edified, your body doesn't get edified. But 1 Corinthians 14 says your spirit gets edified when you pray in tongues. So that's one of the ways you can deny your flesh and build up your spirit man. And then we grow in sensitivity to the things of the spirit. We grow in sensitivity to that inward witness of the Holy Spirit, that the Bible calls it the hidden man inside of us, our spirit. It takes time to discern between all the voices of the world, the voices going on in your mind, and the voice of God. It takes some time to do that. But if you'll spend the extra effort to set aside days or time or hours or whatever it is where you spend more time soaking up the Word of God. The more of the Word of God you have inside you, I don't mean just reading it and getting it coming in like water in and out. I mean thinking upon it, talking to God about it. The more time you'll spend training your mind with the Word of God, the faster your mind will pick up on the voice of God. So as you increase your spiritual intake of the Word of God, your spiritual discernment will increase. And Hebrews talks about the Word of God is so sharp, it's able to divide and discern between what's the soul and what's the spirit. What's that? The Word of God. So you make the Word of God your first priority of every day. You need to get into the Word of God. You need to feed on the Word of God. And you need to learn how to pick up on and understand God's Word. Get a full knowledge of the Word of God. That will help your spiritual discernment. You'll pick up on quickly what is of God and what's not of God. Well, taking a lot of time here, but I'm giving you a midweek lesson that it'll help you get back on track with God if you've somehow gotten off. And you make God training in God's Word your priority. It's more important than your work. It's more important than anything else you ever do. Set aside a time where you spend making God's Word the priority of your life so you can grow spiritually. And you'll never, ever regret that. In fact, Proverbs chapter 4, I love it. It talks about how we need to get God's Word. It says in Proverbs 4, verse 20, this is God speaking to us. He says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears unto my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to all who find them, and they're health even to your physical body. And keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So you make God's Word your priority of every day, and I guarantee your spiritual discernment will go up quickly, and you'll recognize what's of God and what's not of God. So we want to become less carnal, less dominated by our physical senses that we have to have to operate here in this world. And we want to become more spiritual-minded, in other words, more sensitive to the invisible things of God. And that's how we're growing. That's what maturity is all about in the Spirit. And that's one of the things that Grace Tabernacle, I think God has placed us here to help people mature in the Spirit. And so that we can receive all the things that he has for us. Well, thanks for listening to me tonight. I hope this has helped you. I hope it's encouraged you. And I want to pray for you again right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for the one that's watching right now. And Father, I just ask that your Holy Spirit will touch them and trigger them with something that's been said tonight to make time alone with you the priority of their life. Prayer, fasting, discipline, to set apart time in their life where training in your word is the priority of their life. Help them to mature. I know that's your will. And I thank you, God, for your patience with us all. In the name of Jesus, amen. I look forward to seeing you Sunday. Got a message I believe is from the Lord for you and for me. I look forward to sharing it with you. God bless you. Until then, I'm praying for you every single day. I pray for this church and all the members here. God bless you. Love you. And we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.